Good morning, everyone. If you could please turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 1 to 13. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord God gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern the righteousness and justice and equity in every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you. I'm also going to read from the message, but only from verse 1 to 5, because I think it puts it in a very beautiful way. A good friend, take to heart what I'm telling you, collect my counsels and guard them with your life. Tune your ears to the world of wisdom. Set your heart on a life of understanding. That's right. If you make insight your priority and won't take no for an answer, searching for it like a prospector planning for gold, like an adventurer on a treasure hunt, believe me, before you know it, fear of God will be yours. You'll have come upon the knowledge of God. Father, we thank you, Lord. Typically, Lord, on EMP, I don't always pray, Lord, after reading, but God, I recognize, God, we really need you, Father, and, you know, knowledge, God, and wisdom, Lord, is something that we need to actively pursue, and so, God, we open our hearts to you, Lord, right now, and we ask, God, would you speak to us in our heart of hearts, God, would you help us have understanding and fear of God, that word again, Lord, yirach, Lord, to know you, Father, and to know your word. And so, God, would you come, Lord, we humble ourselves before you, Lord, to learn from you, to be taught by you, God, to watch you, so that, God, we may be your disciples, Lord. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So lately, I've been kind of been on a bit of a tear and looking for wisdom. Not so much because I'm wise, but more so because I consider myself someone who is in need of wisdom. I mean, especially last week when I was preaching about Proverbs 1, you know, in terms of having people who live out the word for you, right? Knowing the word of God, reading it and studying it and whatnot. Something that's really come to my attention, especially as I've been working more in the church, is, you know, in industry, when I was in engineering, I would say I worked in engineering probably for about, you know, 5-6 years. And then after that, I went into business and I did business for about 6 years as well. And so at some point in working in those two industries, I kind of got it. You know, there's a point when you're working in something long enough, you kind of understand what's going on. You kind of know the nuances of what your job is about and whatnot. And you start getting better at it and you start thinking about, oh, you know what? I know what I'm doing. You know, I don't really need to find out what's next or how to do things. And so when I came into this work, I realized something. I have no experience doing ministry. You know, I didn't really grow up as a Christian. You know, I've never really led anything before, even in university and whatnot. And so after being here for about a year, and, you know, and I see the work that, you know, PSAM does and Nate and Kenny and all the other staff they do, I realized, man, I'm completely out of my depth. Especially for a lot of things that PSAM, you know, for some reason has decided, Ricky, you know, you should be in charge of this. And I'm like, why? You know, not only some things I would say I may not even necessarily have a heart for, but I have really no experience doing it. And so I've been really inclining myself and trying to seek wisdom and trying to understand what it is that, you know, what it means to be a pastor, what it means to do the things that I do here, especially because, you know, it's not just work. I mean, engineering, I can say it's important. If I design something badly, you know, I mean, there's going to be other checks and whatnot. But ultimately, you know, people, I mean, before I used to design cars, people could die, but the process is so long that, you know, the likeliness of that happening, it probably is not going to happen. But here at the church, I realized something is that you know, when I first started coming into ministry, I always had this conversation with Steph, right? And she's like, I always looked at ministry in many ways I thought was less important. And this was kind of, I think, out of my own pride. But Steph was saying, actually, no. You know, everything that you do here, I would say, in fact, is more important than everything that you used to do. And not this is not a judgment thing between, you know, people who are in secular and whatnot, but this is more so for me. And she would say, because now, actually, you're going to be in charge of people's hearts, you know, of people's lives in many ways. And so you kind of, you better know what you're doing. And so I was like, okay, thanks. That's, you know, that's good advice. And struck the fear of God into me, or fear of wife into me. But anyway, so back to the whole thing of Proverbs 2. And so the first point I kind of have in reading this is this, right? We really need to be engaged in our pursuit of wisdom. And I don't mean just like waiting for it to fall in our laps, but we really need to be engaged, right? We notice throughout the entirety, most of chapter 2, but really in the first 5 verses, right, between 1 and 5, notice the Bible, whenever the writer of this Proverbs, I mean Solomon, is writing about Proverbs, he's not talking about, oh, wisdom is good, you know, have wisdom and all these sort of things. He's using verbs the entire time, right? What is he saying? He's saying, treasure God's commandments, right? Make your ear attentive. Incline your heart. Cry out for discernment. Lift your voice for understanding. Seek her as silver. Basically, he's telling you, do everything that you can to find wisdom. Don't wait for it to fall in your lap. Everything that you can to find wisdom. For me, I'm a visual and kinesthetic learner. I can learn audibly as well, orally as well, but I learn best when I'm watching something, right? And then after I watch it, I try it myself. And then that's what worked best. And this is going to sound kind of weird if PSAM listens to the CMP, but I watch PSAM all the time. Like, it's a little weird because I think there's been a few times where he'll be doing something and then I'll be looking at him and he'll look back at me and I'll be like, because I don't want him to think that I was looking at him, right? It's kind of weird, especially when he's up here talking to people and whatnot, and I'm maybe over there, but I'll actually be just watching him. Because to be honest, for me, I want to see what he does. I want to see how he reacts to people. I want to see how he teaches, how he does everything that he does in this church. Because I realize if I can watch him and I can learn from him, I'll probably have, well, I mean, we know he's been doing it for 20 years, right? But if I can learn from him and watch him, literally I have 20 years of ministry experience in front of me to be able to learn from. And so if I'm not watching him and trying to learn from him actively, I don't think I'm being a very good steward of the wisdom that God's put in front of me. And so part of what I would also want to give to you guys is this, right? At work, look at who's successful. Look at the people that God's put into your life. Look for the people who for some reason, they don't have to be. I mean, some people are prideful about it and whatnot, but you could still learn from them. Look for the people that are in your sphere of influence that for some reason God has really blessed them with, the favor in, and learn from them. Watch them. Whatever it is that they do, watch them. Now, I'm not telling you to not have your own personality and not have your own style and whatnot, but there is nothing wrong with watching someone, learning what makes them successful, incorporating it into your own life, and doing it that way without losing who you are. The reason why I say this is this, right? I think a lot of people, especially in our day and age, and I think in my generation especially, we have this thought that I'm going to come out and I'm going to change the world. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it the way that I see fit, right? And I don't know what it is. And Steph tells me this all the time, especially when she's working with kids and you know, younger generation, right? She's all, the kids these days, they'll go into work with their resumes and they'll be like, what can I give to this company? You know, they don't really think about, you know, the people who's been there. I'm going to come into this place. I'm going to do everything possible and I'm going to make it better. That's just not the way, right? that's just really pride. And to be honest, I think it's just ignorance in youth. Right? The Bible tells us there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new that what we bring or what anyone else brings. Everything is of God anyway. And so really, for us to be humble and for us to learn and to have wisdom, we really should just learn. Have an ability to want to see the best in people in this way so that we can see what makes them work. Why is it that they're able to do what they're able to do so we can incorporate it? And so in this way, be engaged in our desire to seek wisdom. And so who's our best example? I mean, obviously, for me, PSAM's a great example, and you guys know Larry's a great example and whatnot. But the best example is Christ. The best example we can have in terms of inclining for wisdom and in desiring, you know, how to live life well is Jesus. And what does Jesus do? I watch the Father, right? In John 15, right? What does he tell us, right? I do nothing without the Father. Everything that he does is first from God. He watches him. What is God doing? I'm going to do. What is God saying? I'm going to say. And if Jesus, in his perfection, is willing to say, you know what, I'm going to do that, man, we should be doing that. And so we should be engaged in our seeking for wisdom. The second thing, you know, I would glean from Proverbs 2 is this, right? We need to be humble, right? For us to ask for help requires a little bit of humility. I mean, for me, one of the reasons I hated asking for help when I was younger is I hated getting yelled at or being told, like, I don't know what to do. And I mean, in some ways, I still think I have this to a sense when it comes to people that I feel like, and anyway, I shouldn't talk about that, but we should be humble in seeking God's wisdom, right? Why? Because the moment we think we can't learn from someone, that's the moment pride takes over. Let me give you an example, right? And this is a very personal one. I don't think I've ever shared this before. But one of the biggest, I don't want to say, I'm not somebody that typically lives with a lot of regret. But one of the, I would say, quote unquote, regrets I would have in my life is when it comes to basketball. And I'll explain this, right? I mean, I'm probably somebody that has a lot of the hard skills of ball, right? I'm pretty athletic. I can run pretty fast. I can jump. I can do all of those things. But one of the things I always said was this, right? Man, if I only had somebody teach me when I was younger how to play the game well. And, you know, basketball is more than just being able to shoot and all these things, right? It's knowing the game. It's understanding, you know, where to be, how to set picks, how to play as a team, all these sort of things. And growing up, I never had any of that stuff, right? I never had an opportunity to really learn. I played for teams where I repped Toronto and these things. But even in it was like kind of student coaching. It wasn't really like a coach. And I realized this day when I watch a lot of people play and, you know, watching the NBA and stuff like that. I mean, I love ball, and so I consider myself a student of the game, as cheesy as it sounds, because I love it. But I realized there's so many things that I wish I had learned when I was younger. But do you know whose fault it was? It was my fault. You know why? I remember I used to go, especially in college, one summer I went out to try out for the varsity team, and I was basically in, right? Of all, like, I made it to last cut. They didn't have that many point guards, and I was in. It was basically there. And one of the last days, the coach was trying to teach us defensive drills. And one of the things in basketball is help defense. And basically what it means is this: if you get beat by your guy, for example, if you're playing one-on-one and the guy goes around you, My job as a team member is to go and help him, right? Very simple, like the simplest concept. And so what the coach wanted us to do was for me to stand right in the middle of the court, right? And so if the basket's behind me, there's like a huge court, right? And so the drill was the basketball starts there and somebody tries to come to the basket. And my job was just stand here. And if he comes, I just walk over here and help. Basically, that's all the coach was teaching us, right? Or trying to get us to understand. I think really what it was he wanted us to know, or wanted to know whether we would listen. And you know what I did? As my stupid, young, ignorant self? Okay, I stand over here. Why? Because I'm fast enough to get back. You know? And so seriously, it was my own stupid fault, right? And I realized this. This has happened to me quite a few times where I think I know better. Or I think, oh yeah, I understand what you're saying, and I'm going to do it my way because I understand. But really, I was just being ignorant and arrogant. And so we really just need to be humble. We can learn from anyone, right? The truth is, we can learn from anybody. Even the person with the worst attitude, we can learn from them. We can learn how not to be. Well, I mean, that in itself is pretty arrogant for me to say. But it's true, we can learn what not to do. But even in that, we can see what they do well and learn from them as well. And, but really, let me give us a flip side, right? Because I know there's a lot of people in SP who are very well-versed in a lot of things. Be gracious when people come to you for help, right? There's been many times in my life where I would go to people for help and I ask them, and they would just, you could just tell in the way they're trying to talk to you, they're exasperated, they're impatient, they're have you thought about this? Or, you know, all these sort of things. And I mean, I'll still do it because, I mean, my desire for wisdom is greater than their ability to, you know, turn me away, but it just leaves a bad flavor in your mouth. You know, after I learn from them, I really don't want a relationship with them because I realize that they're just as arrogant. They're just arrogant in what they know, right? You know, Paul tells us knowledge puffs up, right? And so for us as Christians, for us as people who have God's wisdom, we really should be gracious in the way we deal with people, right? Gracious in the way that we give wisdom. If people approach us for something, you know, and it could be the dumbest question. Obviously, you know, we should have discernment and, you know, help them in the way that they learn and whatnot. But to be gracious in giving and gracious in what we freely receive from people. And to be honest, this is why I love working at this church, because P. Sam is so good at that. For someone who's been in ministry for 20 years, I mean, I'll go into his office and I probably bug him at least like once a week. He could probably think behind his desk, what, well, I mean, he says this, but you know, what a knucklehead. How could you not know this, right, in his 20 years? But does he do that? No. He takes his time explaining things to me all the time, right? Even the probably what I would consider like stupid questions, he'll do this all the time. And you know, to be honest, this is what makes him a great leader. And this is, to be honest, what I think makes him a good learner and wise, because he realizes he doesn't know everything. And so whether we're looking for help or we're giving it to people, we really need to be humble. The last point I'll get to is this, right? We need to seek God and His Word. And I mean, back again to this, right? Verse 5, then you will discern the fear of the Lord. Back to the word yirah, right? Or yirah. Remember, yirah, the two meanings, right? One, and my favorite one is that only the Word is able to give us that sort of wisdom and the fear of God, right? So that we can learn and understanding, right? But the second thing is that sort of positive fear of God, recognizing that we can trust Him and the things that He does and He teaches us. We really need to know God's Word. At the end of the day, whatever it is that we do, all the wisdom we can learn, we really need to come back to this. This is the beginning of how we should walk as a Christian. This is the beginning of where it is that we should go and how it is that we should act. Right? Hebrews 4:12, right? For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both joint and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. At the end of the day, God's word is what's going to bring us that conviction and bring us that sort of inner check for us to recognize whether we're able to learn even, right? Or to have wisdom. The best time I've ever had with God's word really was when I was working in the China factories and at night, because it would be in the middle of nowhere, I would have nothing to do. Basically, 5 o'clock will come. And, you know, we'd be off 6 o'clock. And between 6 and 10, for 4 hours, I would have nothing to do. And I remember back in those days, I would actually never read God's Word. I actually really didn't know it very well. But because I had nothing better to do, there wasn't even like a basketball court. I remember having my Bible with me, and I would just start reading for hours at a time. I remember this was the first time God started showing His Word to me. And I remember I would play the Am I or Do I game. And so everything I would read, I would start saying, God, do I do this? God, am I like this? God, is this who I am? And I remember at first it wasn't a very fruitful experience until I started using the word and praying. So what would happen is I remember I would read, at the time I'd read through the Paul's epistles, specifically through like Ephesians and Galatians and whatnot. And I remember everything Paul would read, I'd say, God, am I like this? Am I inclined to the word? And then what I would do is I said, God, help me be inclined to the word, right? Or Paul would say, you know, be submitted to one another out of reverence for Christ, right? Or God, am I submitted to those around me? Am I willing to learn from my leaders? God, if I'm not, help me, Lord, teach me. And that became, I would say like those, I did this for about like 4 or 5 months. I mean, I read the word now and I get revelation differently now. But that was probably one of the most fruitful times that I've ever had in my life when it came to the Word of God. When I would sit down and read it, but not just read it, but to really meditate on it and to start asking those questions and to say, God, am I? Do I? And then afterwards to respond in prayer. I think that was probably one of the times when I grew from not really knowing God into suddenly just starting to really seek after him. And to be honest, I think that was when I started becoming more inclined to wisdom and willing to listen to people and willing to watch people and willing to learn from people. And so God's word really is, I guess I can't put it any better than Hebrews 4:12. Is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both joint and marrow, able to judge the thought and intention of the heart, able to pierce into our heart, to show us the things that we lack, and then to teach us. And so God's word, the fear of God, that is what we should desire. It should be what we should be after every day. You know, Peace Sam talking about we should read the word at least 20 minutes a day. We should. And not should only should we read it, we should study it and use it as a reflection. You know, the word, at the end of the day, the way I would put it, is a mirror to who we are. We should use God's word as a mirror as to whether we meet up to the standard or not. Because at the end of the day, right, the word gives us the standard of God. And so when we read it, it shows us, God, is this really who I am? And if not, then we can pray. We can read more. We can ask God for more wisdom. So let's close our eyes. Something, one of my, I think, favorite verses these days is John 1. You know, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And the reason it's, I think, slowly becoming one of my favorite verses is because, you know, when John wrote this, you know, the entire Gospel of John really is dealing with the divinity of Christ and how Christ is the living Word of God. And so when I read this verse, what basically it's telling us is this, right? Jesus was in the beginning, and he was the Word of God. He is God incarnate. If we want to understand God in the Bible, we don't really have to look any further than Christ himself. He represents the Word. He is the Word. And so as I'm reading through Proverbs, or you know, as we're going through it, if we really want to know the knowledge of God and the fear of God, we really should look at Christ. Use him as our standard. Ask him for wisdom. Ask God to show us whether we are able to live in wisdom or not. And so as Sarah leads us in a song, let's really reflect and really thank God. God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that there is a relatable God for us to learn the Word of God from, and that it's alive and living today. So let's really pray. Let's really sing.
and earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Whom of you will hear the cry of my
continue to pray. Let's really ask God for wisdom. Let's really ask God that we can know His Word, for His Spirit to help us memorize it, and for us to have a desire to read it. Let's really pray. Take some time to pray for those in our community suffering from cancer. Let's really pray for them. Let's really ask God's healing over them. Let's really claim God's word that they can be healed. Let's really pray for provision for them, especially treatment for cancer can also be quite expensive. Let's really pray that God covers their entire situation. Let's pray for those in our community in need of healing and salvation. Let's really pray for God to really heal them as a testimony to them as well and those around them, but also for them to be saved, for them to recognize Christ and to know His Word. pray for those in our community suffering from non-cancer related infirmities. Let's really pray for healing over them. Let's really pray that God can remove their pain and ease whatever suffering is going through. Let's really pray for their bones, for their joints, organs, muscles, tissues, that God's just going to bring full and complete healing over their bodies. Pray for those in our community looking for work. Let's really pray and lift them up. Let's really pray for God, the favor of God over them. Let's ask that the Lord will provide them with work, provision, while they don't have work. Let's really pray for protection over their minds and their hearts too, as it can be quite difficult if you don't have work for a while. So let's really pray for God to cover their entire situation. Turn to our mission focus. Let's really pray for China. Lift up Beijing and the entire Beijing families. Really pray for PSK, Sam Kim, and also Pi Hunsu. Let's really pray for their family as well. Let's really pray for covering over them and for the transition time that they're going through. Let's pray for Jesse Kuhl, who's up there. Let's pray for the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, who are all M's up in China. And the churches that are there right now, let's really pray that God will do a mighty work through them. Let's really pray for deliverance of the people. Pray for the board as well. Let's pray for P. Sam and Lisa, Janie, Kiwan, Brian, Sandro, Max, and Monica. Let's pray for covering over them. If you guys can pray specifically for P. Sam, he's been having a cough for basically the last month and a half. I think he's sleeping very well too. So let's really pray covering over him. So let's really pray for a blessing of their hands, that God gives them wisdom as well, so they can lead our church. Pray for our hospitality ministries. Let's pray for a welcoming barista. Let's pray for everyone who serves in it. Pray for the leaders, Bonnie and myself. Pray that God just brings refreshing. Pray that whoever's serving is able to carry the countenance of God, and that they're able to really just love on everyone who comes into the church. Let's lift up our men's ministry. Pray for their Monday morning prayer meetings. Let's pray for their pure desire groups. Pray for the women's ministry, Yaman and Yamama. Let's pray for the leaders, Tyler, Amanda, Tay, and P. Kenny. So let's really pray for them, lift them up. Let's pray for that God really works through these ministries. pray for the house churches meeting tonight for Causeway Bay, Elements, Happy Valley, Island, New Conduit Road, Robbie West, Lion Rock, and Taihe. So we pray for the leaders. Pray that God's really going to bless them and anoint them. Pray for the Spirit to just enter into those homes and wherever it is that they're meeting, and that they may have an amazing time meeting and worshiping God. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can have it, Lord, to learn from, God, to really have a reflection of ourselves, Lord, to know where we are as well. God, will you help us, Lord, to not just learn your word, God, but to study it, Lord, and to be able to memorize it, God. Father, will you also give us an inclination, God, in our hearts for wisdom, that we may seek after it, Lord, with all that we have, Lord, more than gold and silver, that this is something that we will desire in our hearts, God. Lord, we humble ourselves, God, really just to learn from you and to be able to learn from those that you've set before us as well. God, will you give us leaders, God, people, Lord, that we can trust, God, people that we can learn from, ask from, Lord, and to teach us, Lord, and to live out your word. And so, God, we bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day, guys, and enjoy your time of prayer.